Hello, welcome to the Diary 101 podcast. I am your host, Aka Kandela Kandepwe, also known as Aka. Happy Women's Month. It's March. Women are literally living their best life, which is us. I think we always live our best life, but we're fully embracing it now, which I love and I'm here for it. I live my best life any day I can, which is every day on earth. So yeah, happy Women's Month. And yeah, this would be like the last episode in Women's Month, and I thought of bringing somebody we all love and somebody that is able to kind of bring that other part of me. Half of you are always asking to say, we want to learn more about you, want to learn more about your history. Yeah, I brought a household favorite. She's amazing. She's doing amazing work. And I thought, how would I want to end Women's Month? Who would the last person I would like to have, like, on the last episode of Women's Month? What energy would I want to have after an amazing month? Like, how would we, as women, want to transition out of our month? Low key, we should make every month our month, but yeah, this one was designated to us, so yeah. So with that being said, I am happy to have Mpulukeni back on the podcast. Hi, Mpulukeni.
Hi, Aka Kandelwa. Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Thank you so much for being here. I am so happy to have you here.
I'm always happy to come back. Anytime, just give me a call and I'm here for you. And the listeners, of course.
Yeah, and the listeners, of course. Yeah. it's so good to have you. I think the last time we talked was like before or after New Year. And you're like one of the sweetest people I know. I'm sweetest people I got to meet and know. And I'm really just grateful for you, if I'm being honest. Yeah, and I love the work you're doing now, and it's like so interesting to see you evolve and grow in different areas, which I love.
Thank you so much. And I must say, it's an era that I'm enjoying as well. I really don't even feel like I wake up and I go to a job. For me, it's work. For me, it's purpose. And when you get to see people transform and being the best at who they are supposed to be, absolutely amazing.
I guess it takes a lot of time to get to a point where you're transforming, right? Because sometimes I think I'm in my 20s. Almost mid-20s, I'd say maybe mid-20s now, right? And growing up, you're told your 20s is the best time in your life. Like, your 20s is the best time in the life. Live it fully. But rarely do people talk about, like, the 20s are actually the most difficult, because you have an assumption that you have to have it all figured out. What do you think about that?
To be honest, any flaw is difficult. Any flaw, and I'm calling it any flaw, a decade rather, it's difficult because it has its own challenges. Your 20s, it's the time when you are discovering who you are. And I was doing a talk yesterday on emotional intelligence. And one of the things I said, it's so difficult to discover who you are and block out the noise. In my time, Aka Kandelwa, it was easier. We only have a community. We only have school, you know, the social groups. You're exposed to only a very small amount of information about the expectations of who you need to be. But now it's difficult because the social media, there's this global platform and the context. You don't even know who's setting this context, but there is so much that you constantly have to look into, compare it with yourself. Where are you at? Where you need to be? And listen to what the world out there says you need to be. So it's really difficult, right? So the 20s, really, it's about discovering who you are. And you will see as you are making your way to the 30s, you're going to experience a paradigm shift. I call it a paradigm shift, where now it's more of grappling with me wanting to be me and not what everybody says I should be. Right.
That's so interesting. Yeah, like I liked you used the word paradigm shift, because there's always a shift in something, even if intentional or unintentional, right? And mostly, let's say the second decade of your life, which is like from 10 to 20, that is very custom made by your parents or your guardians. The things you do, the people you play with, your friends, your 20s are more like you're taken to university and you're done. So you're no longer in a controlled environment. So now you move from having a community to be with, to support you, to now trying to kind of figure it out on your own and trying not to be a burden, because no one is having conversations about how they are struggling in their 20s. Everybody, let's say on social media platforms, are saying how they are thriving. And so everybody is, we all prefer to suffer quietly than, so we prefer to suffer quietly and have our wins celebrated publicly, but then the wins only happen once in a while, right? So it means majority of the time you're alone and you don't have a support system, or you don't have people you can talk to. So it's like very interesting to be in that paradigm. And if you don't know how to navigate it, is where we have like suicidal thoughts, people feeling lonely, people indulging in alcohol and drug abuse, because we all don't know how to navigate life and have a community, because we prefer to say, I think everybody's winning, so I should just keep quiet till I win, then I can share.
And it's really tough because I see a lot more people measuring themselves with what is happening in social media. Picture perfect moments. I will never ever get tired of saying that social media is a picture perfect moment platform where you just stand, you pose, you smile, and as soon as you smile and the picture is taken, we don't know what happened after. We don't even know what happened before. You know, it's a frozen moment in time. And that is not what life is. Yes, it's a series of moments, and that was just part of the moments we have in life. But you need to look at life as a journey and not as an event where we say, one, two, three, cheese. You know, life is not an event. It's a journey that is made up of moments. And these moments, you get to set it, you get to choose. But it is difficult. I'm not gonna lie, because I see a lot of people having a lot of pressure because of what is happening on social media. And it's not necessarily, social media is not necessarily a bad thing, but it's the consumption and how then we take it and we measure who we are supposed to be and what we are about. Instead of just, you know what, being authentic and saying, I'm gonna go through life with my pink hair. I'm going to go through life being this bubbly person. And if today I'm not feeling it, I'm not feeling it, and I'm going to process it, and it's okay. You don't have to be all happy and sunshine 100% of the time. That is not what life is. And that's where the pressure comes from.
I think that's also been my pressure, if I'm being honest, right? Because I am genuinely a hyper person. Which is like I manage my energy very well around people I don't know, but I'm like genuinely a very hyper person because of my ADHD. ADHD? Yeah, I forgot it. But yeah, so I experience a lot of highs, then a lot of lows, and I don't have like the neutral part where I'm happy, or I'm just neutral, like I'm just good, right? So one thing I realized about the people in my life, and I really like to talk about this with my therapist, and I think I mentioned this to you once, is I always have the assumption that people want me at my highest. Like people want the hyper aka, and that's hard to manage because that only lasts for like an hour or two. I think we had this on the other episode.
We did.
That only lasts for an hour or two. Then the rest of the time is I'll just be quiet. One thing I've got to realize since our last episode is the people in my life have started, which is like my friends and family, they understand my energy levels. So if I am, right now I'm at my sister's, she understands I'm not a morning person at all. So even if I'm up, it's going to take me an hour for my brain to just say, now we can interact with people. Now the energy levels are coming. And it's also easier for her to notice during the day to say, oh, your energy level is different and it's low. She won't mention, but she knows how to give grace, which was so different to 2 years ago. Because 2 years ago, she would keep asking, are you okay? Are you fine? Are you fine? And I think bringing it back to social media, one thing I decided during COVID was, because I took a break from social media for like a year or two, I decided I only share things I love and I've enjoyed, right?
Yeah.
I want to go back to my social media and not reflect that, oh my goodness, I really had a bad day, but I took a picture and smiled. Like every moment for the last 4 years on my social media were moments I enjoyed. I might not post them in that moment, but when I look back and I'm like, oh, let me post this, I was really happy in that moment. I really enjoyed it. I loved the people I was with. And that's what I will share. So it's like I made that decision and I got less anxious about social media. I still take my breaks, but I got less anxious because at least I was very intentional curating what I would like to share and what I would like to see.
Yeah. And there's no prescription, really. Yeah. There is no prescription to say, this is how you need to live your life. Don't post your happy moments, only post your sad ones. Or don't post the sad ones, post only your happy ones. It is by your design, it is by your choice to say, this is who I am choosing to share the world with. This is this person. If you choose to share with us that balanced Akakandelwa where you post both happy, challenging times, it doesn't really matter. It's a choice that you make, right? But in all of it, we need to be kind to ourselves and other people. I like what your sister is doing because there's so many people who have masks on and we use these masks just to cope with the day to day. You know, you get people who are forever making jokes and then you hear later that this person has committed suicide, or you find that a person who's forever laughing, it's the one who is the most depressed because they use it to mask that which they're genuinely feeling. And it is really sad. It is really sad that we have become that prescriptive in a sense that we want to meet people and interact with people at a point that we want to meet them and interact with them, but not at a point they are at, right? And I always try to make it in my social space to say, you know, come to me as you are, because I want to be able to come to you as I am, where you don't expect me to be happy all the time. And you can understand when I say, I don't really feel like being around people at the moment. I just want to be by myself. I don't really feel like hiking with other people at the moment because I want to be one with my thoughts. And that is absolutely okay, and not catch feelings when somebody says it back to me and not make it about, oh, did I say something wrong? No, you didn't say anything wrong. I just want to be alone and it's about me right now. We are scared of discovering who the self is, you as an individual is, and being okay with that person. And I say, go and discover who that person is so that you can articulate who Mpologeng is to the people who are around, because the more we know who we are, the more we are able to articulate who we are, and we won't have to we don't have to pretend to be something that we are not.
And I like something you mentioned. I like meeting people where they're at, and I have this conversation with people, especially in romantic relationships, right? Where just because you saw me in a different light and I was happy and I was vibing doesn't mean that's me on every given day, right? I think that's the one thing I have struggled with in relationship, because romantic relationships, to be specific, because every time the other sides of me, which is like the anxious me, the panicking me, the overthinking me, shows up, somebody's like, oh no, you're just exaggerating. No, like I get I might, but I want you to meet me where I'm at, not where you think I should be. Right? Because it's like two different people. And right now I can only do this. And if you could just sit with it. And I think sometimes people think we want them to solve our problems. Mm. No, we just genuinely want you to sit on it as well. Like, you don't have to do anything about it. Sit on it. Let the emotion pass on my end. Let me feel what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling. And let me validate that emotion, because sometimes what we do is we want to invalidate how we feel. Like, when someone says you're overthinking, like, I might, but I don't want you to invalidate the feeling, because the feeling is there. I want to acknowledge it. I want to sit with it. I want to accept it. And I want to let it go when it's ready to move on. So it's very interesting.
Yeah, we need to be okay with silent moments. I'm learning that in my practice as a coach, to be okay with silent moments where you allow a person just to sit with whatever thought of trail they have, trail of thought, me swapping words around again. You allow them, and you allow them just to process it and process it in their own terms and in their own understanding, because they are the ones that are feeling it. And again, part of emotional intelligence to say we cannot feel what other people are feeling for them. We must always allow them to feel it. And ours is for us to empathize and be understanding and not take it too personal. And you know, when you said in romantic relationships, I wrote here that, you know, dating space is not forgiving, guys. It's not forgiving. It's really brutal out there, because we expect people to perform at a high level of perfection, perfection that doesn't even exist, right? And we've got so many expectations of who we want to be in a relationship with, but never been really getting to a point where we discuss who that person is. And somewhat that expectation must be known. How? I don't know. But we want to just read our minds without us having to explaining to them that, you know what, Akakandela, when I met you, you were at a 10. But these two that I'm always confronted with, I can't deal with this person. And if you're willing to deal with the two, Aka, you know, it's a matter of, let's have a conversation about it. What happens when you are your energy levels are that low? You know, let's have a conversation about it, so that I make an informed decision to say, I only want you to be at a 10. These two, I don't get it. Can I bounce? You know, and be real with yourself and not string people along.
And I always say this. I think it's very much okay, right? I once was seeing somebody, and when stuff ended, he was an asshole about it, right? Yeah. And I just point blank said, you could actually just make a decision and make a decision best for you, because best believe, as like a candela, and I notice that I do not like certain things about you, and I like you at a 10 too, and that's what I'm willing to stay for. The other stuff are not for me. I'm definitely leaving, you know what? So I actually don't even take offense in someone deciding to leave. I'm always now saying, you could just leave well. Not that I want to be your friend, not that I'm trying to do stuff, just leave well. And you don't have to want to leave making the other person feel like they need to question their life choices, because
100%.
Or they need to question who they are, because what's the word? Because you're not for you.
Or even breaking the next person's spirit.
Yes.
Just feel validated that you're leaving. If the relationship is not for you, you don't need anybody's permission to leave. Just leave and say,
100%.
You know, it's not working for me. It's not working for me, as opposed to making another person feel bad, feel broken, any more broken than they are, and feel crappy about their lives. You are more than welcome to say, this is not working out for me. And therefore wishing you all the best, however you may put it, without breaking the next person's spirit.
I think there's a culture where we think living well is a problem. I'm starting to believe that. a lot of people think they can't leave well. And again, for example, My Love Life is such a movie. My friends say that. And they always say that. Like, you can leave. You can just leave. Like, I might like you, but it's not that deep. Men hate when you say that. But it's not, you know? It's like, you're just somebody I met. I'm just somebody you met. We're trying to figure out if we like each other like that. And it's not working out because, as a person, I have multiple personalities. Please, just say and leave. But I also like people that ask questions. Like, why are we at this place? Why do you feel this way? Why is the energy level different? Why is it that you're not going to pick up my call at 8 a.m.? I'm sleeping. Like, I like people that ask the leading questions than people that just have, that meet my other side of me and go like, whoa, I'm done. But again, it's also valid to want to say this is not good for me and I want to leave. Like, I understand it. I would leave too. Yeah.
I mean, people use others as their own happy pill. I want Aga to always be happy so that I can also instead of working with your own defects, instead of working with your own cracks and understanding your own level of comfort, that you're going to encounter somebody who is happy, but you're going to encounter them at their most unhappy state. Because those two things exist in one reality. And at any given point, it's going to happen where I encounter you happy or I encounter you sad. It's just part of life. And we need to understand and be comfortable with two realities or two concepts happening and being true at the same time. For an example, as I said, you're going to see Mbulukeng who is very happy. At some point in this relationship, you're going to see me sad. You're going to see me angry. You're going to see me unhappy. And it does not necessarily make me a bad person. Not even necessarily. It doesn't make me a bad person. It just makes me a person who has emotions and who processes their emotions and feels them in real time. I don't like banking emotions because banking emotions for me brings about pile up. And once I bank an emotion, I never really go back and work it out and process it. So when I'm not happy now, I want to be saying, you know what, right now, this is where I am. Just give me a minute to process and then I will let you know and then we can talk.
I like that. And also, somebody mentioned that life is balanced, right? Simon Sinek said that life is balanced. And for you to have a happy person, they should be unhappy, right? For you to know unhappiness or sadness, you should have experienced happiness. Because that's
the only way. Why do you feel like you're quoting me, Aka Kandelo?
We had this conversation again. But this is like, it's such a balanced thing, right? Because for you to only experience happiness, you have to know the other side of the coin, which is sadness. Like, you can't always be happy. Then how don't you know sadness? Because how would you define happiness? Like, for you to know the difference, you should experience both.
The student has just become the teacher now. And I love it. I love it for me. Let me be selfish. I love it for me. But absolutely spot on. Absolutely spot on.
I love it for you too.
Let me just sit with that feeling. Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. We need to know our emotions. We need to feel them. Not feel the pressures of being in the emotions and however they come. And we don't need somebody to validate your sadness. If you're sad, you're sad. What you need to do is, as you sit with it, go back and figure out why you are feeling that feeling, so that it's not just the feeling that is just there. You don't know why they came, why it came. You don't know what triggered it. You know, you don't even know the origins or the roots of it. So it's absolutely important. Sit with your feelings, Don't need to be apologetic about it. We all go through that. I always say that nothing can ever absolve us from having a human experience. And often that human experience comes at the most unexpected of time, where you need to be in front of a camera and facilitate, or in front of an audience, and you just heard a got a call about somebody in your life going through the most, or something tragic happening, and you have to compose yourself and be in front of people. I always say, if you need to start off your speech by saying, I just received a phone call and this is how it has affected me, there's nothing wrong with that, because it's in you showing the people whom you are standing in front of that I'm having a human experience, and absolutely it's okay to have a human experience. And then once that is out, you can even feel that moment that, oof, I feel so much better. And then you continue with the agenda of the day, right? But it's important to acknowledge our feelings and not dismiss them at all.
I also think that, you know how we're talking about on the other side of the coin, if you're the person going through emotions and you are not being given the grace, and people are not, don't want to stick around, which is also fine, right? But I also liked something, I think it's, I've forgotten his name, but he's a really good, I think it's the Art of the Accomplishment podcast, right? He always talks about, you are allowed to feel what you're feeling. On the other side of the coin, if somebody else wants to feel, wants to sit with you, you're not allowed to project your emotions on somebody else. You're not allowed to emotionally abuse somebody else. Just because you feel sad doesn't mean everybody else has to feel that for you. One of my favorite things, even when I am making decisions in certain areas, I always say to people, and I think I said this recently to somebody, to say, I'm more bad because I'm emotionally projecting on you. And just sitting with it, and it, but that's just heavy for something to happen like that to somebody. And you like them, and you're like, no, it's not right.
And we are not saying when you are processing your own feelings, you should be that abusive person where now you are sad and you want everybody else to be sad. No, those are your feelings. They are your feelings. And it comes with self-awareness, and it comes with self-management. When you're in a position to be aware of what is it that you are feeling, you are in a position to also be in a space to manage what you are feeling and be honest about it. And in that very same breath, social awareness says that then you don't have to go and spill it all over everybody and wanting everybody to take it. No, absolutely not. And whilst we are still talking Women's Month, Aka Kandelwa, women are the women, women, we are at the raw end of it, because we are expected to be so many things to everybody, so many people. And there is this notion that we are warriors, we are rocks. But you know what? I want to dismantle that today. Yes, we are very strong human beings, right? But in the very same notion, we are human beings. We are human beings. So we should not be expected not to have feelings about certain things as they happen. Women are in positions to be mothers, to be wives, to be friends, to be colleagues and bosses in the workspace. But in the very same breath, the minute a woman expresses how they are feeling and the position that they are finding themselves in, then we are labeled, yeah, we always knew that she will crumble. But how many men also go through their own fields? So many, but they are not judged for it. They're not judged for it. It's a very sad space. But and the one thing I always tell is that, you know what? Men don't need women to be subjected to abuse or abusive situations in order for them to know their strength. Men know women are strong. Why? They've seen their mothers being strong. They've seen their sisters being strong. They've seen their wives being strong. They've seen women in different contexts being strong. So as a woman, there is no need for you to subject yourself to abusive spaces. Doesn't matter whether it's in a relationship, a romantic relationship, or a workspace relationship. Doesn't matter. But there is no need for you to subject yourself in silence. So without saying, you know what, I don't like what you just did, and call a person out on it. Respectfully so, you know. And call them out on it. But we have the sense of, no, I need to keep quiet and suffer in silence. There's no strength in suffering in silence. You must speak up. There's very much strength in you speaking up as well. Yeah.
And I think I found myself in situations this year. This year feels like a year already. I've been in so many situations the past 3 months where I tell people I don't like their tone. If you want to talk and interact with me, you have to act in a specific way. You have to talk to me in a specific way. People telling me I'm young doesn't slide anymore. It's just because I'm young doesn't mean I want to be abused when I'm left my mother's house. And there's something my family has started doing a lot this year, ever since we lost my sister, was we remind each other you're loved at home. Such a funny thing. It doesn't matter if it's a man or a woman having a conversation and they're telling you whatever is going on, and you just hear one of us just say, hey, when you leave the house and people are saying shit to you, just say, you know what? You know at home they love me, girl. Literally. And it's so funny how that has changed the relationship in the family.
Yeah.
Whoever you talk to, you say, I love you. Remind people you're loved at home. When you go in the world, move with the person. Move as if you're loved at home. Like, you know you're loved. So even as you maneuver life, you always know there's a home to go back to. And no one will judge me like that there. Like, they will, but it's not even that deep. We'll laugh at you for a century, but you're good. So I think... yeah, well, I've noticed also that people say we want assertive women and women that are doing this and this. And I realize it's to a certain extent. Like, you want an independent, assertive woman to a certain extent. Like, you want her, but not like that. And it's so interesting to navigate life. As I am growing up, I am noticing, I'm not supposed to speak up. I'm not supposed to say anything. I'm just supposed to smile. I didn't know that. So it's such, I see it with my friends at their workspaces. I see it with like majority of the women around me. And I'm like, are we going to have this conversation or are we going to all smile about it? Like, give me the cue. What are we doing as a community? Are we smiling about it? But it's interesting, to be honest.
And you know, Akakandelo, the concepts are not the same for everyone, right? Yeah. So I could be on the one end saying that I want a woman who is strong, right? And that could mean so many things. It could mean that I want her to be strong in a sense of where she clearly articulates herself and assertive and in an end. Or it could be that I want a woman who is strong in a sense that she suffers in silence. I said to you earlier on that two things can both be true at the same time, where we are saying that strength can mean silence, but also strength can also mean being assertive, being where you articulate yourself and you speak up and you are at your most loudest, even at that. Those two things can both be true. The one thing that makes one become fact in that particular moment, it's you asking a question. When you say you want a woman who is strong, what does that look like? So that you are able to say your type of strong, it's not my type of strong. And you're able to say, I don't want to be in this space, in this environment, in this relationship, because Akakandela's type of strong and my type of strong, they do not correlate. They are not speaking the same language. And it doesn't mean yours is wrong, mine is right. No, it's contextualizing. and making sure I understand what your context of strong is as opposed to what mine is.
And that's a good thing to actually highlight, right? Just because you want somebody a certain way doesn't mean it's bad. Just because I want to live my life a certain way doesn't mean it's bad. We all start butting heads when we think that I'm going to change, right? When you think that I can change that person is when it all just goes all sour. Because I don't want to be changed. I want to be me. I want to be loved this way. I want to live my life this way. And I am looking for somebody that also sees life the way I want to see it. But just in the get-go, we're all not honest with each other. In friendships, in family, in love, you have no choice about your family, but you have a choice when it comes to your friends and your romantic partner. We're not honest about that because you're thinking, I can change her. I can change him.
Yeah.
Like, we're not having, like, no, I can't. I don't want to change you. Like, I always say to people that if in your head you ever think I'm going to change, then you don't really like me or you don't really love me. Because you're supposed to love me just the way you are. You can't want to change something you love. Then it stops being something you've loved because it's now changed. It could evolve. It could grow. But changing is like such an extreme to ask from somebody else.
Yeah. And there's so many things that are coming from what you just said. When you say that with your family, really, you don't have a choice. Yes, you don't have a choice. But even with family, you can have boundaries to say, nope, that's not going to fly with me. You know, and in my space, you know, I can come to your house and you serve me tea, right? But when you come from my house, there's no tea. I don't buy tea. I'm going to give you water, right? So it's very important, even in families, to have boundaries to say, my cousin, this particular cousin, this is the level of interaction between the two of us, because I don't like being in that space for too long. It gets a little bit toxic, you know. My younger sister, however, this is the level of interaction, and. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? The second thing is that you spoke of compatibility. You know, the honesty gives us, it affords us the opportunity to say, we are compatible. I'm compatible with Aga, or I'm not compatible with Aga, you know, and therefore I don't want to be in this relationship, whatever format of the relationship may be. But however, people, excuse me, go into these relationships and you say, I'm going to change her. I'm going to tame her. She's going to be what I want her to be. And that is not fair. Absolutely not fair. We are not saying you can never change and you can never compromise. We compromise all the time in relationships. I mean, I know with my kids, sometimes I'll be tired and my daughter has piano. I need to be taking them and I have to be doing. There's so many things where I say, okay, we need to reach a state of one compromising. Let's have a conversation about it. And people who have conversations and communicate get to that space where you get to talk. But if it's all about you're going to do what I want to do, it's either that or the highway, then that is a problem on its own, right? It's a real big problem on its own. People need to take off their superhero capes. We did not create human beings. Therefore, we will not change human beings. You can effect or affect a change in a person because you've motivated them or you've inspired them to make the change. But at the end of the day, they will make the change when it suits them to make the change, not when you want them to change and how you want them to change. That is not realistic. Otherwise, I'm going to tell you to your face, you're being abusive.
So true. When you're talking about how to set your boundaries, there's something I like to use, and we could use it like a Google phrase. I mean, you have access denied, restricted, full access, right? So whenever you're sharing a Google document or any document, I assume there's denied access. There are just certain people. The access is denied. Like, I am not even compromising. I am not even leaving the house. Like, you won't even have my number. You're blocked. Family, friend, ex-partner, you're blocked. That's just access denied. Restricted access is, it's on different levels. Like it could be, it's restricted access to just view the document, restricted access to edit, restricted access to view and edit. Then full access could be you can edit, review, download. 100%. And that's how you should just put everybody. Like, who is on just denied access? Who is on restricted access? Which restricted access are they on? And who has full access in my life? Who can see me at any time, then can pop up at my house, can call me to meet up, and if I'm available, we can meet up. Who can, whose house can I go to and be free? It's like, just look at your life like that, and it just makes everything much better on most
people. And it starts with you looking at your life like that, where you say, I have boundaries, and verbally my boundaries is that I don't tolerate somebody who's speaking down on me. And anytime I feel like you're speaking down on me, I will pull you aside and say, wait a minute, what exactly are you saying? So that I can, before I catch feelings. I did that with one of my closest friends and sisters a couple of weeks ago, and it hurt her. But I was like, don't catch feelings. It was me wanting to understand, what exactly are you saying? So that when I respond without assuming, and I respond knowing exactly what you meant. Or you can even say that, I don't hug strangers. I don't hug people I just met. There's nothing wrong with that. Where a person says, I have a boundary. I don't hug people I just met. It's just not going to happen. And work in the workspace where you say, I'm not going to answer my phone after 4:30 because that is outside my working hours. Or I'm not going to be responding to emails in the evenings. These are the type of boundaries that people can put in place. Or I won't attend a social event, even if it's Aga who invited me to the event, but I will not attend certain types of events because they don't align with my values. Remember, those are your values. And if where you are invited to does not speak to it, you have every right to say, it's a boundary. I don't attend these type of events, you know, with families when it comes to personal spaces and privacy, to say, this is how I exercise my personal space and this is how I exercise my privacy. It has nothing to do with you, but it has everything to do with how I feel and how I'm putting my boundaries. The issue is that we always catch feelings and when we make everything about ourselves and not,
we take things so personal. Like you think, you literally think the world revolves around you. I like something which is like, mind your own business. Like, what business is affecting you? And not just because something is said to you doesn't mean it's about you. Sometimes I think a few weeks back, my ex was like, I don't know what he said. He just said like a long thing, and I said, are you talking to me? Because I want to know if that's for me, how am I responding? And if you were just saying that and needed a platform to say it, that's also okay. But next time, I just don't want you to say it to my inbox. Like, write that to AI. Like, write that. And he did not respond. So my friend and I were laughing because I just said, well, that doesn't sound like it's directed to me. So I will not engage. But who are you talking to? Kind of vibe. And I think something I learned and heard was, tell people to say something to you that they say that is mean twice, right? Yeah. So if someone is trying to be mean, instead of you reacting, ask them again, like, what did you just say? And say, and see if they can say it to you again. Like, just because people can't be mean twice, like, it's very rare. Like, for them to say something mean to you twice. Because then it has to take into thought. It's like, I have to re-say what I said again.
And it comes with a lot of energy, hey?
Yes, it does.
So yeah, and for you to sustain that heavy energy twice, I guess not.
So yeah, I think if a lot of us could just not take anything personal, the world would be a better place. Like, I take things very personal, but I try to be very objective, right? Like, so instead of me responding now, can I respond later? And I think one of my values for me is to keep my word to myself and others, right? If I am repeatedly not keeping my word and I am emotionally putting my garbage on somebody else, that means I need to step back.
Yeah,
I have the awareness to know I said I'll do this and I did not do it, and I'm trying to play the victim. I'm trying to find ways of not taking accountability. I just need to disengage, not because I don't care, I actually care. I just need to disengage to put myself in order.
Yeah.
And take responsibility of the role I am playing and why this cycle is just replaying and replaying.
100%. 100% Aga.
But so what's that's so interesting. You know, one funny thing is I haven't even asked you a question.
and we are more than 30 minutes into the conversation.
One hour in. It is so nice. This is why I never create any show notes for you. Talking notes, because I'm always sure that
The conversation just takes place.
Yeah, the conversation just takes place.
Yeah.
Where are you right now as a person?
I'm in a very good space. I have put so much effort and work in understanding myself, in knowing myself, and being able to tell the next person what I like, what I do not like. I'm in a space where I am happy with all the caps I wear as a mom, as an entrepreneur, as a friend, you know, as a partner, and all of those caps, you know, and making sure that I come through and I keep my word like you as well. And I'm comfortable with my own company and I enjoy my own company. And one of the things that I do so well is to be kind to myself, so that I know how it is to be kind to other people. And every day in living my values and understanding, you know, I always say that we are chasing things in this world, in this life, and the things that we chase is not so far. It's right here in front of us. It's right here within us. And that's the life I live. I don't overcomplicate it. I absolutely don't go and chase complications where it's not necessary. It's about now, it's about today, it's about me being mindful. And in moments where I feel like I'm out of calibration, I'm able to say, step back, bring yourself back to yourself, because I do have moments of me being human too, because I am human. That was a mouthful, yeah.
I like that. I kind of, it's such an in-depth way of thinking and just looking at your life, and I'm just like glad you're there. If you would think of something, what bothers you now? Like in the world when you look at it, like what's bothering you? That you're just like, I wish I could do more.
Sure. I used to go read to children in the informal settlements and play with them. I used to make dough and would play music and dance. I think that's one of the things that I feel like they're missing in my life, because I don't have a community where I am able to do those things with. And I'm still trying to figure out, because I'm studying at the moment and building a business, it's not such an easy thing. But hopefully in the next 2 years, I'll be able to get back into that, because it really is my heartbeat. Doing and serving other people, if I can put it like that, it's my heartbeat, and I haven't been able to do that, and it feels like there's something big missing in me. So yeah,
I like that. You talked about even previously on the podcast how you loved reading, and you have this lovely story about reading. I think it has to do with your grandpa, right? Yeah,
my mom.
Your mom.
He was the one who used to buy me books even before I could read, and Disney books to be specific. And I used to tell stories from pictures, and it just developed the love for literature. So, yeah.
And to be honest, I think that I always say this to people, and that's something we're working on in my business. We always talk about how, as a continent in Africa, we still have core problems, right? Mm. So before we can have conversations about how to integrate AI into our systems, how to do this like as a community, as a country, we could integrate it personally. But you realize that we have a literacy problem, right? Mm. We have core problems. We still want to build more schools in our communities, more hospitals, develop the road networks. And you see how the world is moving so fast. It's moving faster for them because they had the opportunity to work on their core problems, which is like the road development, the networks, the schools, the hospitals. They kind of have that 75-80% figured it out. So it's like, so it's very interesting that you want to do that. Like I think it could be something fun to do with you because I love to read.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Imagine kids in the informal settlements having a Kakandela from Zambia to come and read for them. You know, they have no idea where that is, what it looks like. In their mind, they're probably thinking people from different parts of Southern Africa or Africa as a whole, they look a certain way. Or you know how you go to different countries and they're like, oh, we thought Africa was a jungle. Oh,
yeah.
True. Even in the African context, there's still a lot of assumptions about people across borders to say, you know, this is a Shona person, this is somebody from Malawi, this is somebody from Zambia. And when you get to see the person in it, like, oh my goodness, we're actually more alike than we are different. And it brings that whole African continent into one. And you get to see it like, my goodness, I've been missing out. And it's all about hope. I think more for me, I love the human spirit. And I always say that people get to a point where they feel like they have nothing to live for because they've lost hope. But going in communities that are struggling, and you get there and you read a book, you might be thinking it's something small, but you leave them imparted with hope. There's a young girl I mentored in the informal settlements a couple of years ago, I think 2016-17, I can't remember, between 2016 and 2017-18, and she gave me a call the couple of weeks ago and saying, ma'am, do you have an extra phone? I'm doing my second year as a data analyst and I don't have a cell phone. I don't want to burden my mom. She's always going through the most. And my scholarship does not give me enough money to buy myself a phone. I was like, my goodness, I can't believe that this girl still remembered me. This girl thought of me. And in my awareness, she said, you're one of the people that made me feel like I can come out of the informal settlement and make a life for myself. Hence, I'm saying it's not a small thing. Yeah. For me, that is where my heartbeat is, because I go and I read books, I walk away, I come home. But there is always so much that gets left behind, you know, where somebody says, I too wanna be something, and I can see it because somebody who once lived in a rural place has made it, you know? And they get to see those possibilities.
Adding on to what you said, so I can bring it home. I met somebody in a supermarket yesterday, and we're at the same high school. I think he was my senior. So he looked at me, I looked at him. I remember a face, I forget names all the time. And just like, hey, I'm kind of so excited to know him, to remember him. And just, we talked for like 2 minutes. And he was like, wait, Before we do the hi, how are you? I just want to say, when you were younger, you'd always say, what book should I read? Right? Like, what book should I read? I want to own a business one day. I want to do this and that. And I look at you on social media and I'm like, I knew that girl when she was young. I swear to God, everything she's doing now, she said it. Right? Like, she said it. Like, she told me. And I was so shocked. And I get that a lot from people. But then I realize I was inspired by the people I talked to in that moment when I was younger. Like, the people you're exposed to. And this is why I'm so passionate about mentorship and any way people can get mentored from me. I love it. Because the type of impact and exposure it comes with is very heartwarming, right? Imagine somebody reaching out and being very vulnerable to saying, I would like to meet her, if I'm being honest. Like, please introduce us. She says, because I'm actually looking for a data analyst.
Okay. I'll put you together.
For someone to say, hey, I need help and this is where I'm at. I hope you remember me. And I don't know how, but I hope you can help me. That's being very vulnerable. Like, I know people my age, it's so hard to ask for help. It's so hard because you think when you ask for help, you're failing. But she's like, hey, I just need a push. Like, I have done everything I can to...
I just need a lifeline.
In my capacity to shift this. I just need somebody who support me this way.
Yeah,
absolutely. No, that's so beautiful.
Absolutely.
Like, those are stuff I wish, and sometimes we just don't know that all you need is to ask for help. And it takes a lot to ask for help. Your ego needs to go down. Like, it just does take a lot to ask for help. But I like it. It takes every, and I think my grandfather was that person too. That person that people would go and ask for help and he would help because, he had the capacity to help. So,
100%.
When you look back to the last time we talked on the podcast specifically was it's been almost 8 months. No, six. It's not been that long. I think it's just been 6 months. It's been six, 7. It feels like a long time. Again, this year feels like a full year.
I almost wanted to say over a year ago, but you're right.
Hey, 2025, the last 3 months feel like a year. It's just been a few months ago. What do you think has changed for you?
In all honesty, our last conversation prompted me to find that you actually kept me honest to start my own podcast, which is something that I did. And I'll be recording in the coming week more episodes, which I'm looking forward to publishing. So one, it was that. Two, I enrolled in my M4 leadership coaching because I feel like I want to really grow my business. And in as much as we thinking only practice matters academically as well, people want to see you having the academic background. So I'm connecting my dots. The third thing is just being a mom to my kids and seeing them flourish and be these brilliant human beings that God created them to be. And just working on my network of people, friends, making time for other people, because that's one thing that I was always bad at. I was always bad at socializing. And I think I'm in a space where I am being intentional about the kind of connections I'm making with people, obviously in my terms. And growing more and more into myself. I'm enjoying the woman that I am, Aga Kandelo, who is not apologetic and who always sits and says, what is my truth here? you know, what is my truth so that I can find my navigation and just find my navigation, and working more and more in imparting that in other people to say, you just need to be who you are. You just need to be your authentic self. You don't need to be somebody else for you to be loved and appreciated. You know, we want people who are rather than people who seem to be something that they're not, because in time that it will fade. But if you are yourself and you're connecting me with at a level where you are you, absolutely amazing connections and friendships or relationships. So yeah,
I like that, and I think that it's such a good space to be in. I can imagine it's only been like almost 7 months. Again, the last 3 months feel like a year. I'm glad, yeah. I'm not the only one that feels like that, but there's also so much to be grateful for in the last 3 months. Yeah. You have an opportunity to ask me a question.
Yes. I think the one thing that when I looked at your social media, I always wanted you to, in a few sentences, to tell me about your experience in Prague, that trip. And I know you've spoken much with regards to the podcast, but this is in real time now. How was it?
I don't know. Like, I got to the airport. Like, it was such an... My friends and I wanted to reunite, right? Because we met in the US and you create this amazing circle of friends. So half of us applied and they picked a few of us. We're like 8. I created a group on Instagram called Girls Trip to Prague. And we were like planning it. Got the airport late. Mm-hmm. But then it started to feel real, right? So we got to Doha because we're using Qatar Airways. Mm-hmm. We got to Doha. And I had purple hair, which is so cool. Mm-hmm. I had purple hair. And I was looking for one of my friends, Hatna. I was looking for her. Then I just found somebody hugged me from behind. And I turned, it was her. And have you been at the airport? Those movie things where you see people screaming at the airport?
Yes.
Yeah. We were screaming. She was like, I did not know who it was, but I saw the purple hair and I knew it was you. We screamed, and I think that's when it started. The trip started because we all met each other at different airports. The other girls were using the Dubai airport. I don't know the name, but they're using the Dubai airport. So they also got to do their meetup. Then we met at the airport. We were all landing relatively at the same time. The 6 of us were landing at the same time. Like, we were at the airport at the same time. One came earlier, the other one came later. We all landed at the same airport time. Can you imagine us screaming? Like, and I was just like a bunch of girls were on immigration. And you're like, that's my friend. That's my... Like, people were looking at us and like, okay, this is interesting. So the airport for me was like, I can't believe the girls are here. It's like, you just see your friends at the airport and you are screaming. And also, the other girls from other countries, other cohorts had the same experience. But for me, it was just like, I'm so glad to see my friends. We did activities together. Don't piss me off any single time, but we always have one rule. Even if you're upset, you're still going to stick around with your friends. So it's like when you're doing a group activity, you have to do like mutual group stuff. So that was a test of friendship also, because I get irritated easily when I'm cold, and it was very cold. So it was like a test of our friendship, which was so fun. We like have breakfast with people and they give the best hugs, just catching up. I don't even know how to describe it. It's very... I did a trip to Zimbabwe 3 weeks ago, but that was different. That, like, the Prague trip was just chilling with my friends. Like, I think I was also struggling so much mentally. I was so tired. I was burnt out. Just the visa process and everything was just so hectic. So to have been able to go to Prague with all the things I had to go through, to just be able to go to Prague and hang out with my friends for a few days. Like, we're always in each other's space. I loved night walks, so I would have a friend walk with me in the night, would get lost with no internet, and would have all these moments. So it's so hard to put it in words, because you can only know when you're there.
The type of your pictures tell tales. Your voice, the pitch in your voice just tells the excitement. And
I was so excited.
Yeah.
I think I have different friends. Like, I have my friends here, like I have my friends who I do everything with. And I have different circle of friends, but I'm so grateful for the friends I have from the different side of the countries, right? You learn different cultures. You learn to communicate differently. You learn to communicate your emotions differently. And I think you learn to be more self-aware.
Yeah.
You learn to give grace. You learn it's normal for friends to disagree. And since you talk to each other after 5 minutes, you learn a lot of stuff. And I think after America, I did feel out of place. Right? Like, I did feel out of place. Going back and meeting the same people. Again, they know, like, so it was a SUSE program, right? It's this workshop. They know how to create a curated environment that makes you feel loved, safe, and seen.
Wow.
Yes.
That's great.
Yes. And everybody was craving for that environment. It's an artificial environment, but it's like, it's a doping. Is it there's doping and what?
The one
that comes in. Dopamine is like a spike in, like, when you eat sugar, but the other one that just comes naturally.
Yeah, yes,
it's that environment. And the fact that it wasn't new people, it was old people, it's your friends, they're hanging out. And the cool thing was, you got to meet, so you have your friends, but you also meet, like, the other people you met earlier. So it's like, you now only see each other on social media, and I got to, like, meet my other friends, and we're, like, screaming. So everybody is standing up to hug the other people from different states, because we're like, hey girl. So yeah, it made it real that you can be in an environment with women who support you fully and love you fully. And that's what they did. And they have over, I think, 500 alumni. Yeah,
I really like it. I love what you just said, to say women who support you. You know, we are in constant conversations to say we don't want friends who compete with us, because why compete with me when I also want you to win as much as I'm winning, you know, and to be among women who are of that same sentiment, who echo that same sentiment. It's absolutely amazing and a blessing as well, that I'm glad you are experiencing in your 20s and you get to carry it out throughout the rest of your life.
And the thing about these women is, I'm actually meeting one this weekend. It's just because it doesn't matter which university you went to, just because you have the SUSE alumni, I will go above and beyond for you, even if I don't know you.
Yeah.
Because we have the same system. It's like the same system, the same people, the same belief system. And if someone, so we're hosting someone from America, right? So she has no friends in Zambia and she's a SUSE. So we're like, girl, you have sisters. It's not you have friends. You have sisters in the country. We will hang out with you when we can. You can talk to us. And I think that's what makes it such a good environment. And I always say, I hope people can, I want to create that environment, but it's very curated. They do an amazing job. But we could all just try to create such communities for each other.
Absolutely.
Where we're all just seen. We all just feel seen and loved and heard. It's all we need, I think. I needed that. Like, the Prague, I still can't believe I went to Prague. It's such a beautiful, other than that, it's such a beautiful country, and I did a lot of shopping. I love to shop. So, other than the girls, I went on a solo date, and I had so much fun.
Wow. No, I'm really happy you got to have that experience, and may you have many, many more of those. May you have many more. And
But I
thank you
have
for sharing, and thank you for sharing your experience with me. Well, and the rest of the world.
I also miss South Africa. I think I keep saying this to people that I'd like to get back to South Africa. It feels South Africa is such like a fast life. Which,
Really?
yes, for me, compared to the environment here in Zambia, I feel like we're so slow paced.
I was in Zambia and I felt like I was in South Africa.
How long were you here?
I was there for, I got in on a Tuesday, I left on a Sunday. And I felt like I was, like, it didn't feel like I was somewhere outside home. I don't know.
So that's the goodness about South Africa too. You don't feel like you're outside home because everything looks the same. You look the same with the people. No one would assume you're not South African till you speak. When they speak to you in their language and you can't speak back. But I would say I loved it because I love the economy. And in the economy where it can sustain certain growths, right? So it's a fast-paced economy, like you're moving with technology, you're moving with the Western world. So it's like a really good place to be at if you're in business.
I get you.
Yeah. In that sense. Like in Zambia, like our economy is slow in terms of are we moving? Anyway, it's because we're also solving core problems. That aside, but it's like if you're a person like me and you want to build a data company, a tech company, you need a fast-paced economy. So I'm always trying to say, how do I put myself, how do I have the mindset that I'm in a fast-paced economy? What am I supposed to do to feel like I'm in a fast-paced economy, even if I can't travel to a fast-paced economy? So it's very interesting. But anyway, other than that, you guys are in South Africa, so I miss you guys. So
Let me know when you're back here. You and I, it would be absolutely amazing to catch up in person. Yes.
I am thinking about it. I am trying to see how do I get myself to South Africa
Okay, no,
for fun.
you must let me. Okay, if you're looking for fun, I'm not your person.
No, I mean for fun, fun, not that type of fun. You know how I always tell you to enjoy the podcast? Yeah, just to enjoy that type of fun. Like,
I thought you were like fun as
no,
in being, oh goodness me, I am so bad.
don't worry. I know who to go to. I have everybody. I have everybody in South Africa. I know who
Your
to go to.
people.
I know my people, and I know who's hosting me for what.
All right, no, you will let me know what is it that I'm hosting you for then.
Hiking.
Great, I'm your girl, I am absolutely your person. So, yeah.
It's such a joy to have you, Mpulukeni. What do you look forward to?
Sure, let's see. The one thing that is pressing, I wanted to somewhat look forward into the future, but let me speak about the present thing. Early this year, I went for a shoulder operation, so I still can't swim. And my doctor said, perhaps, you know, when somebody say perhaps in the next 4 weeks, and I'm like, why do you keep shifting the goalpost? Because it's been 4 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks. So hopefully in the next 6 weeks I'll be cleared so that I can go back to swimming. I miss it as a form of exercising. It does wonders for me mentally as well. And I just love being in the water. That's the one thing I'm really looking forward to. And the unfolding of my coaching practice. I'm busy with building the framework for it. And I'm just anticipating greatness and great growth. In terms of where my career is going, and just being immersed in being in my kids' lives, you know, and being present. I think I mentioned my kids quite a lot because my life is evolving so much around them. And my daughter the other day said to me that, you know what, mommy, you shouldn't live for us, you should live with us. And I found that such a powerful thing to say, because we think we should live for our kids, but then it creates bitterness later on when you realize yeah. that life has passed you by. But for her to even validate me as her mom, to say, no, you're doing everything that you can for us. And there are times where you should do things just for you, without us, you know, and it's okay. And I was like, my goodness, such wisdom from this little girl. But anyway, I'm her mother. What can I say?
You've been doing a good job with all of us. Thank you. I think.
Thank you so much. So yeah, those are the things that I'm looking forward to. And I'm looking forward to meeting new people, making connections and learning from them as much as I also impart knowledge in them. So yeah.
And I like what your daughter said. I think I said that to my mom when she was making the decision to leave the country. Right? She was like, are you going to be fine? I said, well, it's just 2 years, the hardest 2 years of my life. It's just 2 years. It's okay for you to make a decision for you that's good for you.
Yeah.
You don't want to look back when I am out. Because I was like, hey, I live such a freelance life that I might pack up and live in a different country. So you don't want to look back and say, I sacrificed so much for these people and none of them are here. You want to live for yourself and do what you can for yourself. You are a parent, but you're also a human being that has dreams that are also valid. And it's okay for us to give you that room for you to evolve in that.
100%, yeah.
It's always such a joy to have you in Pulukeni. I love this. It is such a need. Didn't go as planned, thank God. Nothing with you ever goes as planned. but I really enjoyed it. With closing, I want to switch up a little bit. What advice would you give a young woman right now?
Sure. Live in the moment. I think we get robbed of a beautiful life, focusing of what needs to happen, and we don't really take it in, you know, to say, in this moment, I'm having a laugh. In this moment, I'm just, you know, breathing and I'm enjoying it and what it means. Know yourself. Absolutely, utmost importance. Know yourself. And don't stop investing in figuring you out. It's an investment. You are an investment. Make that investment to know who you are so that you're able to articulate who this person that you are to other people and help them understand you. And like I said earlier on, life is a journey and not an event. Don't feel the pressures of social media, guys. Half the people who are there not living their true, authentic lives. And I don't see why that should rob you of living yours. And perhaps in closing, Aka Kandelwa, is because I can talk for you for days. You know me.
You and I both.
I believe that there is an event I'm going to in the next 8 days. It's called Steps of Success. And one of the things that I'm looking forward to there is, you know, women imparting in themselves how knowledge of how they made it in their businesses, what challenges, because I think we don't speak so much or enough about the challenges and therefore never really get to share how we overcame, and it stunts our growth as human beings. So it's a space where we're going to talk challenges and how we overcame, where we learn to lift other people as we rise. Because it's not a competition, man. It's not a competition. We all have a role to play. And when we connect to play those roles, life just becomes absolutely amazing. And the second event, I think it's going to be in May, where we're going to be talking Mother Said. And this is just the power of the spoken word. And, you know, reassuring that be careful of the words you use towards yourself, towards other people, because that could be either break or make. And it's important in my life. The words we use are important. So, yeah.
I like that. I think you and I can talk forever, but I want to mention this. I think I had somebody, the episode released this week, and she wrote a book. Her name is Linda Kasonde. She wrote a book about some of the challenges she faced rising to the top and being like the first last president. That's like the Law Association of Zambia, right? Mm-hmm. And we mm-hmm. also touched on in our pre-meeting about how as women, we shy away from having honest conversations about our struggles, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. We want to pretend that, like we mentioned earlier, there's no honor in struggling. There's no mm-hmm. strength in struggling in silence, actually, mm-hmm. right? This feels like a different episode on its own, but I love that you mentioned it because I think I'm starting something to share about some of my struggles online because people don't think I struggle, which is interesting. Yeah. But yeah, I guess I never really share the side of me that struggles. But yeah, I am so grateful I had here. You're such a joy again to have on the podcast. Thank you so much for honoring this invitation. We're definitely going to call back again. Maybe I'm just going to come on your podcast. Who knows?
Absolutely. You are going to come. Don't worry. It's in the making.
It's in the making. I like it's that. In the No, thank you so much, Mvulekeni. This was the best way to end Women's Month, an honest, loving conversation with you. And for everybody listening, honestly, we hope you enjoy this. And as much as we'd like you to share, I think I'd like you to sit with the conversation because we want you to sit with yourself and learn about yourself and share it with somebody you love and care about so they can have that reflective moment as well. So thank you so much for listening and bye for now.
Bye.